Welcome to the Way of Success. Pastor Banky is teaching the principles of life established in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, whose kingdom indeed reigns over all. Relax and listen, and you'll be blessed by this message.
In previous teachings, we spoke extensively about faith, and I think I should just end up with one statement that we should remember, that the Bible says that without faith, it is impossible to please God. It is not as if it is difficult, but it is impossible. We have said that life is a reward. What will come upon you in life is a product of God's opinion concerning what you have done. If God says this thing you did was good, then he will give you an appropriate reward for your works. And that is what will guarantee you a prosperous and an abundant future. But if God says it's not good, no matter how much your desire you put into it, and no matter the amount of effort that went into it, there is no way on earth that you will succeed, because remember, God is God and there is none else. That is, nobody else can confer blessing upon you if God does not. All right, so those are the things that we discussed in previous teachings, and I just like to quickly announce that all the radio broadcasts that you have heard up till last week are available on the website. You can go there and listen to it, and you will really be blessed by them. Remember, the address again is kingdomword-ng.org. Just click on audio messages and look for the radio broadcast messages. They are all there. All right, I want to start a series of teachings today that I've titled God's Order or God's Procedure for Promotion. Now, it's important we understand, like the Bible says, if you read the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 8, verse 6, it said, "For there is a proper time and a proper procedure for every delight." Now, what Solomon was saying there is that you don't just do things the way you like. If you want to play football and excel during the game, you are not going to even try to use the rules of handball. Because if you try using the rule of handball, you'll be kicked out of the game within the first 1 minute. What does that mean? To do well in anything in life, there are rules that guide it. You don't just do things because they feel right. Rather, you have to find out the proper way for doing things. And it is your responsibility to look for the proper procedure if you are going to succeed. And that's what I've said. We are discussing God's procedure or God's order for promotion. Remember, God is the creator. I cannot say this enough. Because men often live as if they are not accountable to anybody. But let me tell you again, you are accountable to God. What you do in secret, you will be brought to account for it. What you do discussing amongst your friends, if you gather together to plot iniquity, and though the arms of the laws of the nation do not catch you, or you feel like you are above that law, listen, there is a judge that is above all else, who enforces his own laws to the letter, and that is a God of this universe, the creator God, and we are all accountable to him. In everything that we do, your conscience must be commended towards God. There is a tract I wrote on that. Again, if you go to our website, it's there for you to read. I titled it, "It is God and I." And in it, I emphasize that anything that you are doing in life, you have to know that it is God that you are actually doing it to. If you are relating with your boss, God says, serve him as if you are serving the Lord. If you are relating with your employees, you must relate with them knowing that God is watching over your shoulders. There are people who hire people or you employ them to do a job. You finish the job, they pay you for the job. You don't pay the people who did the work for you. God said, I will take the money out of your hands by force. That's why the last car you bought with such money caught fire, or why armed robbers took it within the first 24 hours of your driving it around to impress people. The reason was that God looked and said, this car was bought with unjust money, and therefore it cannot be a blessing to you. I'm emphasizing that it is God that we have to do with in life, and we must never pretend as if something yields results, the thing is good. No, God is watching, and he will give to every man according to his works. That's what the Bible says. If you buy anything in the market, the manufacturer gives instructions, and we have been so blessed that God has given us his inspired word, which is the word of God, the Holy Bible, that tells us how to live. Now, we have established that God's order, of course, we understand, will be the proper order of life. That is, if you follow God's order, then you are bound to succeed in what you are doing. And one thing I want to just quickly emphasize is that God's way of doing things is usually quite different from the ways that men do it. There's something Jesus said once. He said, broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many people that flow in it. One thing I have come to realize in life is that if everybody is doing something a particular way, there is a very serious high chance that the thing is being done the wrong way. Because the Bible says that narrow is the way that leads to life, and few they are that find it. And usually the people that do things in God's order are usually called odd by the people. They say, we know your own way is always strange. And why is he being told that? Everybody is cheating in the office. And the man, despite the fact that he's currently living in poverty, refuses to cheat. And they'll say, look at this guy. He's just punishing himself. What does he think he wants to achieve? What am I saying? Everybody does it one way, but that is usually the wrong way. And God said in Isaiah chapter 55, which I will read in a moment, that my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. Now, what am I saying? If we are going to have good success in life, we have to adapt God's thoughts. And that is the first thing I want to explain today. God has a way of doing things, and it is usually different from the way people do it. Now, this is where I want to start from. The way of men is to hustle. Let me start with that. You see, we are coming to the end of the year, and people are beginning to plan what their new year resolutions will be. People are beginning to plan what their projections for next year will be. Let me give you an example. Maybe you have a company. You have they tend to tell you a 5-year development plan or a 1-year development plan. In a nation, we have that. But people tend to have a projection for the company's performance for the following year. People have their desires that they want to achieve. People will tell you that, I have told God by June, I must have a car. I have told God by November, I must be married. I have told God, that is, they begin to express their desires. And we tend to do that around the turning of the year. That is, preparations will be in high gear for preparing for the next year. You understand what I'm trying to say? That is, people will start making up their minds. Look, I'm already this particular age. I should be married. I'm already this particular age. I should have built a house. That's my house I've been building for some time. I should complete it next year. Now, and then when a man has outlined his desires for the coming year, what he does usually is to start running up and down to try and achieve the things that he has proposed to achieve, or the things that he has desired in his heart to have. Now, that is the way men do things. They run up and down. They network. They hustle. No, this year I have told God I must get a job. So when he's making his new year resolution, in his mind, who do I know so I can get a job? Next year, I am not going to be slack. I have to see this uncle. I have to see that man. I have to see this man. He starts planning his network for acquiring success. Are you getting my point? But God says, my ways are higher than that. Let me tell you something. You might strive in life to get a result, but you will not be able to sustain it even though you get it. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is the only result you will get, and you will sustain, or you will be sustained in it, will be the one that God imposes upon you as a reward for faithfulness. The Bible says that it is the blessing of God that makes rich and adds no sorrow to it. Now, God can bless people, and that blessing will cause them to be rich. Now, it is also possible to acquire riches without the blessing of God. That is why men tend to join the occult. A lot of what we call cults are nothing but powerful covenanted networks by which men try to empower themselves. But God says, if you get your wealth like that, one thing is sure, sorrow will be added to it. Listen to me, there is no way on earth you can separate those things. The Bible says that what God has joined together, a man cannot succeed in putting them asunder. That is, if you gain wealth and it is not the blessing of God, you cannot detach that wealth away from sorrow. It is not possible. You will go to sleep and not be able to sleep. When you are driving, you will be always looking over your shoulders like, who is pursuing after me? Sickness will set in. You will have money, but you will not be able to enjoy it. And worst of all, the case will be like that of the rich fool that Jesus talked about. His life will be taken away from him, and they will say, these things that you have acquired, who is it that will now spend it? What am I explaining? To get wealth is a different matter. To enjoy the wealth that you have gotten is a more serious issue. And the Bible says it is only God that can give you wealth and give you the ability to enjoy it at the same time. And that's why we're emphasizing on God's order for doing things. Man has his order. Listen, the order of man is to convert his physical energy into success. And let me tell you something. The energy you have converted into something else, you have lost it. Therefore, he has no energy to sustain his life, to sustain his health. But if God blesses him, he uses God's energy to produce abundance and success. Therefore, he has enough to enjoy what God has given to him. What am I saying? You are preparing for next year. It is not to make up your mind on what you want to achieve. No, it is to say, I must be in a place where God can thrust abundance upon me. That's what we are talking about. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Now, I've said all of this to emphasize that God has a different way from human beings. And this is what I want to introduce today. And then we'll continue it again next week. Isaiah chapter 55. It said, "Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost." He said, "Why do you spend money for what is not bread and your wages for what does not satisfy?" He said, "Incline your ear and come to me. Listen that you may live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you according to the faithful mercies shown to David." Now, if you go down to verse 6, it says, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near." He said, "Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts." God now emphasized, he said, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Now, what I want to emphasize here is this. God said, most of the things that we do is spending our money for that which does not satisfy. I explained earlier that the way of man is to hustle. But God said, at the end of the day, you will get that which will not satisfy you. He said, if you want satisfaction, the first thing you must do is listen carefully to me, and that will cause you to eat what is good. He said, "Incline your ear and come to me." What am I trying to say here? God has observed all of us, especially in a nation like Nigeria. He said, how most of us do things is far below the one that he has proposed for us to have. What is he saying? That is the method we should use are his methods. Now, get what I'm trying to say. The Bible says, "In the beginning was the Word." Now, follow this very closely. "And the Word was with God, and that Word was God." That was in John chapter 1. "That Word then became flesh and dwelt amongst us." I want you to understand the spiritual principle here. Before anything becomes manifested on the earth that you and I can see, it said, "In the beginning of it was a Word." That before anything comes down to the earth, it first exists as a Word in the heart of somebody. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That is, before you can achieve anything on this earth, it must first be inside your heart as a thought. Now, there is something that the Bible says, that whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. If you see a mango being planted, it does not look like the tree, and it does not look like the ripe mango. It is the seed that is inside the mango that it resembles. I am saying that what you will reap in life does not look exactly like what you planted, though it is exactly what you planted. I'm explaining a principle here. That is, many of us who are looking out for success, "I want to marry next year, I want to buy a car next year," God said the seed that will cause you to buy a car next year, it is not pursuing after a car. Are you getting what I say? It's like saying, "I want a big mango tree with ripe fruit," and then you start running around looking for a big mango tree with ripe fruits. God said, no. What you will do is to plant a seed of the mango, which, especially when dry, does not in any way look like what you are looking for. Are you getting my point? That's what God meant when he said, "In the beginning was the Word." That is, there is a thought pattern that is inside a man's heart, and that is what decides what comes upon him in life. God is saying, therefore, if you want results next year, the first thing we must do is to change your thought pattern. That's what I'm trying to say today. God is saying, if you want results, you want to marry next year, you want to buy a car next year, you want to get a good job next year, you want your company to expand next year, he said, the way of man is to start running after company expansion. The way of man is to start looking at every woman that passes as a potential wife. The way of man is to start using every connection possible. But what is God's way? And let me tell you, God is the creator. His own way always gets results. God said, this is my way. In the beginning, there must be a thought pattern a word in your heart, and that word will now come forth and be manifested as flesh. I remember when I got married, I told my wife, I said, you are my dream embodied in flesh. That is, every dream you have in your heart will eventually become embodied in flesh. And it is that embodiment of the flesh that we are calling results. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? What I need is the correct dream, the correct word in the heart. And if it is present in your heart, it will definitely produce results on the earth. What am I saying? You are heading towards next year. Your new year resolution shouldn't be, I must get a car. No. It is, I must change my mentality. You want to marry next year? Your new year resolution must not, it should not be, I must marry this year. No. It is, I must change my mentality. You want to get a good job next year? Your resolution must not be, this year must not pass me by. It's unfortunate that a lot of people, what they use God for is as a need supplier. God can be a supplier of your needs, but that is not what makes him God. That's why David said, the Lord is my shepherd, therefore I shall not want. He did not say, the Lord is my supplier, therefore I shall not want. There is a difference. A shepherd not only supplies, he tells you where to go. Are you getting my point? Now, it is as you follow the shepherd that you begin to see that your needs are supplied. That is, a lot of people, this is how they treat God. They start running to church, night vigil. No, people think that it is by staying up all night and crying to God every time for needs to be met that causes needs to be met. No, what God wants is number one. He said, your thoughts must become matched with my thoughts. That if you have my thoughts in your heart, it will definitely manifest as flesh on the earth. Let me break it down further in case I'm sounding too deep. You know, you see a young man. He wants to marry, and his desire is to have a good wife. His desire is to have beautiful children. His desire is to have a peaceful home that he will be returning to. One thing I noticed long ago, even before I married, was that a lot of men who we think work very hard, the reason why they work so hard is that they don't like to go home. So I made up my mind as a young man, God, please, I must not like work so much that I won't like to go home. Now, the same man who is desiring this goes around saying that, you know, you can't trust women. Now, what is he saying? I have a particular thought pattern. It is the seed, and it will become manifested in flesh. The day he will get married, his wife will be one that cannot be trusted. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? That I'm saying that before you get results, you must get the right seed. You must get the right thoughts. You must get the right words in your heart. There was a teaching we heard many months ago, which we titled, The Power of Your Imagination. That is, it is what is inside your heart that eventually comes to you on the earth. I'm saying this so that those of us who are having projections for next year, we will understand that it is not according to the force of your desire that you will get results. It's according to the right seed that is planted inside your heart. Remember, I said that God said, in the beginning of any endeavor, there must be a word. With a man who wants that thing on the earth. God is saying, you want a car next year? There is an attitude that will produce a car for you. Let me give another very good example, Hannah. Hannah wanted a child, and she prayed earnestly to God. And the Bible tells us that year by year, Hannah kept on going to the temple, yet God never answered her. Why? Because the word that was with Hannah was that I need a child to answer Peninnah. I need a child so that everybody will also know that I can have a child. I need a child so that I can call and send anyhow. That is, I need a child for my own vainglory. And that word produced in her flesh the inability to bear children. Paul said, it is not of him that wills. That is, what comes upon you in life is not a response to your desires. That's why the Englishman said, if wishes were horses, even beggars will ride. What came upon Hannah was not her desire to have a child. And let me tell you something about each generation. God always has an assignment for each generation. And it is the men that unite with God in their thoughts that get the results of excellence in that generation. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? That is, God said, in this generation, I have a temple that has been desecrated by the priests are putting there. He said, Eli and his sons, they have disdained my sacrifices. Therefore, I need a correct priest. He spoke to Eli, I will bring up my own priest who will be after my own heart, who will do all my desires. God, that was what God said to Eli. And to get God's purpose in that generation, that is, to have God's thoughts in that generation was the key to success. That word, like I said, remember the word is logos in the heart, a thought pattern, a word that has taken over that soul. That is what becomes flesh. But Hannah had the wrong word and it became something else in her body. Yes, she desired earnestly, but her desire was cut off. Until one day, the right word came into her heart. And she went to God and said, if you give me a child, I will give him back to you. And God saw a woman who finally has seen God's purpose for her generation. And that same year, she gave birth to Samuel. Are you getting my point? And I said, life is a reward. What will come upon you is a reward. When she fulfilled her word to God, that I will give Samuel back to you, that this young boy might serve you, God gave her many more children after Samuel, according to the blessing from the mouth of Eli. That's an example for all of us to obey. In each generation, there is a need. Next year, your desire should be God. All of us, they keep on telling us Nigeria is a very corrupt nation. He said, I will agree with you in my thoughts. Next year, there will be no corruption in my business. God says, the right seed is now in your heart. The right logos, the right word is now with you. And that word will become flesh. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That is, there is a righteousness for each generation. You have to understand that. That in each generation, there are problems. There is a problem of immorality. The young man who is looking for a good wife, his dedication is that, God, if I have sinned, I will sin no more. From now on, I have made up my mind before God to hold myself in chastity before him, that he might bless me and bless me indeed. God will say, the right word has come to your heart. Are you getting my point? The young woman who is looking for a good husband, who wants to have beautiful children and a prosperous home, should recognize that it is not by desiring after it. The women who have bad husbands, who have tumultuous homes, also wanted good ones. But what came upon them was not what they desired. So there is a proper seed that brings your desire your way. Where is that seed? How can a young man keep his way pure? The Bible says, but by keeping it according to your word. I hope you are following what I'm trying to say. That is, the New Year resolution should not be, I must get this. The New Year resolution should be, next year, my thought patterns must be the thoughts of God. Listen, some of the things that God will use to bring fruits into your life, they don't look very nice at the beginning. An average woman that wants to get married thinks marriage is just for security. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? And thinks that no man can tell me what to do. Yes, she wants to marry. Those days before I got married, one of the things I used to tell young women around me, I said, listen, the way you treat me, I said, I'm a fine young man. The way you treat me decides whether you get a good husband or not. And they would say, hey, look, you have come again. I said, I'm telling you the truth, you don't understand. It's not as if I'm going to marry this person I'm talking to. It's just that if you're not respectful to a man, you can never attract a good husband. Therefore, what is the thought that should come into your heart for the coming year? I must be decent and respectful to men. There are a lot of people, young women, who see men only as tools. You know, like, if you want money, go out with that man. God said, your ways are not my way. Neither are my thoughts your thoughts. The thoughts that you have will produce decay and failure in your life. You have to change those thoughts. I hope what I'm saying is making sense. That is, God says, you want success. It is not by pursuing after success, but by getting the right thoughts into your heart. That is why Paul said, labor to enter into God's rest. What was he saying? That is, God told the people, I will bring you to the promised land. He said, if you believe him, you will walk in a particular way. And then the bringing to the promised land will be God's responsibility. When we read from Isaiah chapter 55, he said, incline your ear to and come to me. Listen that you may live. That is, God's word is the only thing that can give the right thoughts to your heart. And that one will become flesh and you will see progress and you will see prosperity. He said, if you do this, I will make an everlasting covenant with you according to the faithful mercies shown to David. Now, what were the faithful mercies that he showed to David? Now, I don't have time to read it, but you can refer to it from 1 Chronicles chapter 11, read down to chapter 13. God had promised David that he would be king. He had anointed him king in Israel. But David had the right thoughts. That is, I will not strive to become king. I will wait for God to lift me up to become king. Even though my master Saul has done evil against me, yet I will not stab him in the back. I am a faithful servant. I am a child of God. Even though God gives me the opportunity to kill Saul, yet I will not kill him. Because if I kill Saul, I am trying to enthrone myself as king. And the way you get a result is the way you will maintain it. He will have had to fight all his life to remain as king. But if you read this portion of the scriptures I just referred you to, you will see that after Saul died, people began to come to David and say, you will be our king. Men who have been trained, listen, armies, large armies from various tribes in Israel, they came to David and fought on his side. They came and enthroned him as king, even men who were fighting on Saul's side. You have a business idea. Capital is not your problem. God said, when my blessing upon you is ready, men who have armies or finances, who have millions of naira to fight in the business world, they will come and enthrone you as a CEO over that business because you have the right idea. One of the best banks in Nigeria today, when the man started it, all he had was thoughts. And great men gave him money because they trusted him. What am I saying? That is, they had the armies and they enthroned him as king. Listen, you don't need to beg anybody. You just need to be pleasing to God. At the appropriate time, the faithful mercies, the abundant mercies, the type that was shown to David will be given to you. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is, if God says your thoughts are now right, he said the thoughts will become flesh. It will command armies in your direction. He said concerning David, he said, behold, I have made him a leader and commander for the peoples. Notice this. The people by themselves subjected themselves to David. You know, I used to think David was a very strong man. He wasn't. He was just a blessed man. Are you getting my point? Listen, but Joab, Abishai, those were strong men. If you go and read about the strong men of David, men who fought lions. Now, David fought lions by grace. Those guys fought lions by strength. Those guys, they will fight 300 men to defend a plantation of beans. That is, were confident in their strength. Those men came, laid down their swords before David and bowed and said, you are our commander. That's what God called the faithful mercies shown to David. Listen, when God is ready to bless you, this one that every woman is looking down on you, they will count it a privilege for you to talk to them, despite the fact that you have nothing. You know, men go around and say, these people, girls, they are looking for too much money. I agree with you. But there are good women who are not looking for money. When the time comes, God will lead them in your direction, and you will marry next year, according to the word of God. You have only 100,000 naira, and you want a good car. A man who has an army of cars will sell a car 10 times that price to you for that price when the faithful mercies of David has been shown to you. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? But God said, before I can show you the faithful mercies of David, you will incline your ear and come to me. You will listen so that you may live. He said, you will listen carefully to me. That way you will eat what is good. I hope you are getting my point. All right. I want to end today's teaching with one word, which is found in 2 Samuel chapter 10, verse 12. Joab said, be strong and let us show ourselves courageous for the sake of our people and for the cities of our God. And may the Lord do what is good in his sight. What am I saying here? If you do what is right, imbibe the right thoughts, you will see what good thing that God will birth in your flesh this coming year.
The Way of Success is a production of Kingdom Word Ministries, a non-denominational teaching ministry based in Enugu, Nigeria. For more information and for free access to Pastor Banky's audio messages, books, and other materials, log on to www.kingdomword-ng.org. Our mailing address is mails@kingdomword-ng.org or P.O. Box 2273 Enugu, Nigeria. Please join us same time next week for another refreshing time with the Word of God. and have a blessed week.